down to brass tacks, good morning, and remember this. Basically, what I am trying to get from you today is the different perspectives. I accept that not everybody is going to see what is happening in Barbados today the same way. And I'm here to allow you to express your point of view and at the same time to recognize that there are diverging views on almost everything that we do. Yes, ma'am, you're on the air now.
Hi, good morning.
Yes, good morning, ma'am.
Hi, I am a bit disgusted by last night's meeting. Reason why I'll say this, I drove past and what I heard basically was some person, I'm not sure who it was that was speaking because as I said, I was driving. And the minister was basically stating, Mia's age 52. And then he made some other comment saying that she resembles Madea. What does that have to do with what's going on in Barbados at this point? That's my thing.
How old are you? You sound very young.
I am young.
How old are you?
And this is my first time calling in on your program.
How old are you?
I'm 24.
Yes.
Right? And if you want to get the younger persons to vote, I'm not going to say vote B, vote D, because I know, obviously, everybody have their own preference.
Yeah.
But from driving past last night and hearing comments like that, what is it doing for the younger people that you want to get to vote? You understand? There are younger persons that don't have jobs. There are younger persons that don't have education. There are younger persons that don't have a directive in life. And hearing persons on top of a podium speaking, trying to get back, you know, reinstate into their positions, and they're speaking stuff that I don't see that's benefiting Barbados. You have the sewage, the economic, the dollar devaluing. Like, what are they speaking that is benefiting Barbados? I don't get it, right?
And you want to hear those things?
Of course. Who doesn't want to hear those things? And then not only that, I actually wanted to call in a few months ago with the whole thing with everybody bashing Miss Yearwood, Natalie.
Yeah.
And to me, Natalie is doing a more positive going forward, you know, trying to do the city of Barbados and, you know, get the votes and what's not. To me, she is more doing positiveness than what I heard last night from
That's an interesting contrast.
No, it is, because persons in Barbados, they would more expect Natalie to be swearing, like what I heard last night. They would more expect her to be degrading other person's character, but to me, she's not. And to me, Bajans are a bit one-sided because she has a background of a past that persons might not think is good enough for her to be running. But the persons that do have all that education or what's not, they didn't display that last night from what I saw, from what I heard.
If you establish in the minds of the public that you are going to run a campaign on morality,
mm-hmm.
Then you gotta be very careful how you actually structure that campaign.
Exactly.
And therefore, I sincerely hope that they listen. One of the reasons why I believe we get attacked, and I certainly get attacked, is because, in my judgment, they don't listen. They haven't listened to us for a long time. Not me, not to me,
mm-hmm.
but to the people of this country. And therefore, this campaign requires that they at least listen now to what people are saying. Don't take my word for it, but do their own work out there and try to get a sense of what people are really saying about how the campaign is shaped.
Exactly.
There's some valid, in the midst of all of that, there are some valid issues which have been raised, and it is, to me, It is not far-fetched to ask Ms. Motley to account for her stewardship when she was a minister.
Mm-hmm.
But how you go about that can either enhance your position or it can make you look worse than you think. Because at the end of the day, you may look worse than she does for the way that you have conducted the campaign. So I hope this today they will have the opportunity to get some feedback. Of course, as I say, there are their supporters who will call, and they too can bring a perspective that may bring, you know, can bring some balance to it. So you.
Well, what I would say, hearing all of that, what should I say, all that attitude that they had last night and all that energy, all that negative energy and toxic energy trying to put it towards the Barbados Labour Party, how about they put that energy and come up with a strategy to fix the sewage in South Coast, help put back tourism in Barbados so that there would be persons that are in the tourism sector that can get put back in jobs, you know, bring back up the dollar. How about they put all of this toxicness into one and everybody come up with one solution on how to get back Barbados on the chart? Because right now, what I heard last night about Madea and this buddy is because the Democratic Labour Party, they do have persons in there that are probably past 60. So I don't even understand why they were using her age. So because she's 52, she can't run the country. And I was a bit lost. It doesn't make any sense.
Okay. Thank you very much for taking the time to call us. Down to brass tacks.
Yeah, hi, good morning to you, Mr. Ellis.
Good morning.
Yeah, I'd like your permission to make a few comments, please.
Sure.
Thank you. Yeah, I noticed the date of the 27th of April, which is the Prime Minister's birthday, as the date that they announced, gave us the date for the upcoming election.
No, he didn't do that. He did it the day before.
Okay, all right. But in any event, I didn't know the Prime Minister was actually born in April under the Taurus sign. And to my mind, that helps to explain a lot of things. I mean, I'm not too much of a horoscope person, but if you examine the horoscope, it presents the Taurus bull as perhaps the most stubborn in the entire horoscope. But getting on to some comments made by Mr. Glenn Murray 2 Sundays ago, when he said that leaders in the past would consult with Obeah men when they were looking to set the dates for elections. You recall that comment from Mr. Glenn Murray?
I do recall some reference to that, yeah.
Okay. I would like Mr.
Well,
Murray
some, well, I don't know, you said leaders in the past. I think, because I don't think he was as specific as that. He did say that? No, he wasn't that specific. He said there are some leaders who would do that.
I think he said in the past, too, as well. Anyway, what I would like to hear from Mr. Murray is, if there's a situation where a leader consults the Obeah man and turns out to be successful, could we then assume that he would also continue to consult the Obeah man in terms of running the affairs of state?
But that's a reasonable conclusion. If you're successful with it one way, you're not going to go back.
Fine.
I had acupuncture once, and it worked for me, and I believe in it now.
You believe in it? Okay. I hope you don't end up like
I didn't go to an Obeah man, because I would be believing in Obeah all like now, too.
you probably wouldn't admit that on air. But the point I'm making is that, for instance, if leaders are involved in that sort of behavior, whichever part of the world, of course, dealing with what we consider witchcraft, I think that can have serious implications. Now, the Bible is a book that I hold in high regard, and it shows you quite clearly that when King Saul ran into problems, he consulted with the witch of Endor, and that precipitated his demise. So if you have leaders who are involved in that sort of...
But that's highly speculative. It hasn't got nothing to do with anything that's going on right now. I mean, that there will be leaders... Look, don't forget, leaders are drawn from so many different cultures. So if your fellow is a politician or a leader in Haiti, what do you expect? He won't go to a voodoo man. I mean, and they got people in Africa who also have that view. And they got people in the West, white people too. Right? The amount of Obeah. Somebody talk about Harry Potter. I think it was the Minister of Agriculture talking about, see, the leader of the opposition watching too much Harry Potter. Bear witchcraft. And that's white people. So, come on. Down to brass tacks.
Hi, David. Good morning.
Oh, good morning.
How are you?
I am well, and you?
I am good, David, and I'm really pleased so far what I've listened to, especially the use of your word balance and how you are contributing it. I must say A+ this morning. Before I go into that, let me just briefly comment on some of the comments by other persons. One guy talked about and made a big song and dance, and he was wondering why you weren't being outraged about the use of cutthroat or something like that, or the term
splitting
used by
one throat.
The person spoke, from what I heard, they were talking about a political cutthroat. You know, there are times persons on the hustings would talk about, I can give you a political cut, and we wouldn't finish, a cut tail, but we know the other word they would use, etc. With the word political placed before that, that's basically what they were saying. Could he have used something else, maybe? I'm not going to be drawn too much into that. The whole question of violence. Did you remember a BLP candidate some elections back went up on the platform with a cutlass and blah, 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 blah?
I was there at that meeting. I remember
right.
it. But this is not what... The main thrust of the comments here is that there are some people who are offended by the tone of that meeting.
But you have to ask the basis, you know, where this offense is coming from.
Where is it?
And when you listen, you get the sense those are persons who...
Are BLP supporters?
Yeah, and they're upset totally with the meeting. So, I am not going one with the other. For me, David, I prefer to discuss issues. For me,
did they
I like
discuss
to listen
them
to
last
issues.
Night?
I was very pleased with the selection you chose. I did not hear, because I went to church yesterday, so I did not hear the open part of your thing yesterday where you said you listed some of the things. But I did read the proposals put by Ms. Motley, and I've been saying for a long time, whether or not people choose to vote BDUPP or Solutions, what I felt the aim should be is to give them with sufficient good information that when they go, when they make a decision, it will be based on facts and information that can be backed up. The young lady spoke about just now, for example, the energy should be put in increasing tourist numbers. At this point, it would have been good if she could have been informed that actually under the minister, this current minister of tourism, Richard Seeley, tourism numbers have been up and growing every year. So she'd have that information and her original opinion, and then that information, she'd be able to probably reassess where she's going. If it was correct, then you would say, well, yes, it is correct. That's what I'm saying about us discussing. If Ms. Motley had been held under greater scrutiny, this is only my view, David, I felt, and I believe Ms. Motley would have probably been forced to pay particular attention to what she was going to present, and we could have had something better. I agree with what has been stated, that those proposals that she has put out there, especially based on the fact that she was saying that this economy was in collapse and no money and the foreign debt, etc. And then you're going to say, within 4 weeks' time, you're going to get 50 new garbage trucks. And within 3 weeks' time or whatever, you're going to get X number of buses. There's a lag time between trying to put in a proposal, getting tenders out, blah, 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 and getting these things on the road. And, you know, David, just using a simple example, if you go into a supermarket and you see a cashier, you go to a cashier and they said, hold on, sir. Sorry?
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, hold on, sir. We are just changing, this person is changing ship. What happens is the cashier who is replacing the cashier who was there before is going to open a float, count it, check it, and make sure everything is right. Political parties, I'm not only speaking about the bees, but political parties on the whole, when in opposition, I would advise them to be more careful in making these wild, grand statements.
All right, but since you have introduced that...
And I just want one point, David, before I go, I want to speak to the government.
No, before you go there, I think it's important for me to play this so that you can...
To play what?
Something that is relevant to the question which you've raised. It's only 2 minutes, so just give a listen.
Okay.
This is Mia Motley of the Barbados Labour Party speaking, I think, in the Pine last night. Wildy is where this meeting took place.
They want to know where you get the money from to send your children to school. They want to know where you get the money from to fix up the accident and emergency so when you go in there, you don't be treated like cattle. Well, let me tell you, it is about priorities, and it is also about reprofiling, rejigging how you spend your money. Last night you heard me say you might earn $1,500 a month as a gas station attendant. You might got loans that add up to $1,000. When done, the 500 can't pay water, light, pay transport, and buy food for you and the children. So the most important thing is to see how this loan that you got, that got 3 more years at the credit union, how you could take that $1,000 commitment to the loan and stretch it out over 6 or 7 years and pay $500 instead of $1,000 a month. Is that not what you would do? Is that not what you would do? So if it is good for you, why it can't be good for the country that they put in trouble? Do you understand that almost 68, 69 cents in every dollar that the government of Barbados earns goes to pay debt? Not to pay salaries. Not to buy bleach and chlorine and sanitizer for the hospital or the prison. Not to buy stuff for MTW. Not to buy toilet paper and soap and things for the children in the schools. It goes to pay debt. And all of this fancy talk, you want to test this Barbados Labour Party about how we going to do it? Bring it on. Bring it on. We haven't just dropped out of the sky. This is 29 years of public policy that I bring to the task. And it's not me alone. I have strong economists, Clyde Maskell, Ryan Strawn, Marsha Cadell. I have others who are not in the political fray. I have them locally, regionally, and internationally. And you know, they say better to be born lucky than to be born rich, because when you've got a good heart, people is work with you. Bring it on. Jungle juice and all.
Yeah, your reaction.
I am listening to that, David. So what she's talking about is what the earlier caller said to you, which is debt rescheduling.
Precisely.
If you
what I said to the earlier caller.
If your debt is going to be finished, you have a loan for a car and it's going to be finished in 2020, you go to the bank and say, look, I want to pay, instead of $500 a month, I want to pay $350, $450. But that debt is, instead of finishing 2020, now we're going to finish in 2025.
Correct.
I'm just trying to be simple. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
But the point I'm saying to you, David, that does not address the critical issues at hand.
What are the critical issues?
The problem at hand, based on all that everybody has been saying, is the money coming in is less than the money being spent.
Correct.
And therefore, rescheduling that debt does not address how you're going to pay for that extra 5 years that you're going to incur.
Agreed.
Because you have recurring, you understand this recurring debt going on over
yes.
a period of time.
But you know, as I said earlier, mm-hmm. and your point is valid, but you know, I need to hear both sides of this.
Absolutely.
I also need to hear what the Democratic Labour Party
that's
proposes
I'm going
to do.
Speak to them now and say to them, I want you all, this election is very critical, David. And that's why I felt all the months leading up to this, instead of marching and calling for election date and all that, we should have been looking at serious issues. Auditor General report under the debt.
Who should have been looking at these issues?
Those who are commenting on the matters should be looking at
it. But the first responsibility rests with the government of the day, wouldn't you say?
I would say to them, my critique of them is they have a serious flaw and weakness in that they let everything go out there and they do not address it, whether to agree, disagree, or whatever.
But that's not all. There are also people who come across as though they are not secure in themselves. Because you know how many times they have had opportunities to come and talk to people and find all sorts of excuses to avoid it and send the people who are not as qualified as they to represent the party's interests and that sort of thing. There have been, this is a period, somebody asked me about last night's meeting and if I've ever seen anything like that. But I don't want to get too immersed in that just yet. But when it comes to the whole question of communicating with the Barbadian public and trying to keep people abreast of what was going on, you would have thought that the government had something special up its sleeve that.
But you don't know if they don't yet.
No, I'm not talking about now in terms of the election campaign. I don't think that you, in all fairness, I don't believe that you can try to win that battle in one go in an election period. There are a lot of things that happen and sink into people's psyche within the five-year period, and that's when you need to address them. This thing about waiting for a meeting, a campaign, to then come to the public, you know how many people have reached the point of saying, listen, I ain't want to hear nothing. I just don't want to hear.
But you are not wrong in the sense that if you give up, you know, what's the thing? Nature abhors a vacuum.
That's correct.
If you give up, you're right. For example, what's happening on CBC? CBC has shut down their call-in program. That is something government should immediately address, because they, if they want to give their point of view and they feel more comfortable giving it there, that should be a forum that.
But you should not be encouraging a one-sided approach to the flow of information.
All right, David, let's not even get sidetracked.
But that explains where you call us now.
I want to get to the point to discuss why I'm saying what I'm going to say to the government. Mm. And let me just comment on this guy that tell you, if you've ever seen anything like that, the BLP callers need to be careful. David, remember how Liz Thompson, what the things Liz Thompson said last year at the last BLP conference, attacking Mr. Oinata family.
Ma'am.
Yeah?
You know that the Democratic Labour Party has flagged a number of instances. It's not just Liz Thompson. There was a period, Kerry Simmons has been brought under scrutiny for some of the things that he has said on political platforms as well. Yes. But not a whole platform. Speaker after speaker after speaker.
They were right, David. I agreed with you.
Going after one person?
Yes, because the question was not going after Ms. Motley. They were discussing leadership. And who is the leader of the BLP at this time? Ms. Motley.
But how?
They did it to Owen Arthur when he carried the last election. You look at the leader because Ms. Motley.
No, but ma'am, we agree with that. That you look at the leader.
Mm-hmm.
But what you need to listen to is how people react to the how, the way it is done. That's what your feedback is today, you know, from other people. But you defend it, because I know you will.
No, I'm not going to defend any. I said to you at the beginning, David, I like to listen to facts. I like to have serious, in-depth discussions. And people, you don't have to be articulate, but if you can make sense, I will have a discussion with you. I don't like fluff and all that sort of thing. Never did.
Mm-hmm.
So, but what has been said on that political, you see, we have to be fair. All I'm saying is the BLP callers is going to give outrage, whether false outrage or right outrage. Some people who are neither B nor D might feel outrage. I would, some of the way things were expressed, especially by one person, I would have not, I didn't think that it needed to speak like that. But the bottom line is, the BLP do the same thing. That is what happened on political platforms. That's why I don't follow political meetings. And I did that once. Because, you know, you have, and this is why, like what you said, and I am agreeing, and I felt you could have done, and the station and others could have done more of it, is you need to delve into the facts and the meat of the matter and deep issues and present it in a real balanced way, so that by the time they come to discuss that, people already have things before them. But let me go to the
I've sought to do that by playing for you the highlights from the Barbados Labour Party meeting.
Yeah.
And the best of what I could get out of the Democratic Labour Party meeting. At the end of the day, I also have to reflect the tone of the meeting, the substance of it. And that's what I have done.
And meetings are to come, we don't know. But David, let me just say this. You see the government ministers, I'm warning you all. What you all need to do? You said the first meeting was to deal with leadership. Fine, you've done that. I have no problem with looking at Ms. Motley's track record, Crab Hill Police Station, the burning down of the prison, wastage of millions of dollars in EduTech. You went through all of that. And you don't. So when you look at her activities, and they didn't go all over, they dealt with things she was involved with World Cup. But for yourself, the LP ministers, you all need to come to the people when you all addressing issues, and minister by minister within their ministry. So Esther Bias.
But I want to suggest something to you. Once you have embarked upon this, remember they have been in power for 10 years.
Yes,
and therefore they too have to account for stewardship.
But David, Again, let me finish. That's where I was going. I was going to say to them, you need to give an account of how you manage your ministry. I took $500 and we spent it preparing Tenetry Road in Indian Ground. These people were affected. You give some personal examples and you say to them, well, okay, we could have done more if we had more, et cetera, we didn't do more, et cetera. I know they ain't gonna want to talk up the floors. Right. Nobody would. But at the same time, people will assess if what you're saying.
We're gonna get enough of an opportunity in the next few days to hear a bit more of this and to see where the approach of one party helps to take the campaign and reshape its trajectory. Okay? This down to brass tacks. Hello.
Mr. Ellis, good day to you.
Yes, good day.
I listened, and first let me start by saying a lot of old. Do you remember the Capstone had a song called The Lot of Long Talk?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll get to that point. And I must tell you three things you might not know. This morning up at the electoral ECB, I was jammed. Up there had a whole set of people that, you know, trying to find out exactly what is going on. So that's another method. What they call you about, to the point. And if there are 30 constituencies in Barbados, and both parties have 30 constituencies in Barbados, I anticipate that the Barbados Liberal Party had an estimate of 500 people from each constituency. Last night, I estimate that the Democrat Liberal Party would have had at least about 200 or 300 people from the various constituencies. So what I've read does not correlate to the crowd that was at Robert Street as against the crowd that was at the here by the National Stadium. Some of the things I hope that the integrity group in Barbados will have their ears to the ground. You've got your ears to the ground because judging from the clips that you pulled this morning, I know you've got your ears to the ground. What is extremely important that they have not answered the queries of the Barbadians, so the Barbadians will say, well, look, you have done something, you've made a mistake, but you're now telling us why. They have not done this. I want to know what has happened to the $13 million that only a couple months ago the people of Dubai gave to the minister or the government for the correction of the project, the problem at Christchurch sewage. You and I know that over $8 million was spent. You and I know, because it was in the press, they dug four wells at $2.8 million per well. What has happened to the balance? Why are we still having that same problem? Nobody spoke about that last night.
Yeah, I think that the critical issue of the sewage project, it was dealt with last night from the point of view of the historical development and how it got like this. The fact that, you know, nature itself has played a significant role. The minister said last night emphatically that it had nothing to do with maintenance. Well, other people have differed on that. And I think there was some reference to a document which was produced by the consultant to the Barbados Water Authority, which suggested that maintenance did play a role. I would be fair enough to suggest to you that it could well be a combination of the two. But the more important issue is how are we going to, what's happening here? Every step of the way, we have found that what the government has said to us about the efforts it was making did not appear to pay off.
Okay.
And we are still in a state of crisis here. So the most important issue is, how are we going to fix it? What are you going to do? You know?
I take your word for it, Ms. Ellis, that the point is to have it finished. The point is to have the problem behind us. The question is, since you've spent so much money so far, an account should be given of that situation, and we have not heard secondly.
Yes, and that is not all that we need to know, you know. In addition to that, we need to get a progress report on the status of the Bridgetown project. We also need to know what are the dangers associated with the West Coast and how long can the West Coast go unsewered, you know, because that is an accident waiting to happen as well in a different way. We have a similar problem with the dump in St. Thomas.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it is a much wider issue, and I sincerely hope that, you know, coming out of all that we are going through right now, we will see in the manifestos some discussion on how we're going to tackle this much bigger issue.
All right, let me come in again. I did not hear them last night about the situation of Four Seasons.
And we didn't speak about that last night.
Didn't speak about. We were given 100 days to get.
Last night was me and Martley night.
Right. Now, I want to actually go to this point, you know, that the point of going, now, I stood up in the public building when I was a member of parliament. Mr. Ellis, I'm going to go back to something that was said, and it was done. In the presence was the late David Thompson, Trevor Prescott, and some others, and he said these words: we will be fighting this election by going for the head. By going for the head. If you don't take the head off, then the body...
But you are familiar with that approach.
Right. So I'm saying that this
time... That is part of the political experience.
Right. But this time of going for the head, you've got so many questions to answer. Take for example, I don't know if they're going to answer the 23 downgrades and tell us how we got there. I don't know if they're going to answer the situation in terms of ministers being involved in other enterprises other than controlling the ministries. But what I'm trying to express this moment is that the Democratic Labour Party has made several mistakes, and they've continued to make mistakes, and they will continue to make mistakes because it seems as if the answers...
But what about the Barbados Labour Party? The scrutiny is also on the Barbados Labour Party, and as much as people are offended by the tone of last night's meeting...
Name a mistake, Mr. Ellis. Name a mistake, Mr. Ellis.
For instance, there was reference to comments which were made about Ms. Motley's leadership by people within the very Barbados Labour Party who were on stage with her the night before.
Can I tell you there that on the stage with Mr. Vonda last night was people that on the 20th, on the 2011...
Listen, you're not answering my question basically by shifting it to the Democratic Labour Party.
I'm saying to you
that in all of this, you've got to take into consideration the perception that, you know, all is not as honky-dory among politicians as it is projected to be. And I am one of these people who really don't buy into this notion that there is stability on one side and instability on the other in terms of how politicians react. Almost every person who is elected to politics believes that they have the capacity to lead the country. That's the nature of the beast of a politician.
And
within parties, you have competing interests.
I agree with you.
You know, it is part and parcel of the political experience. So anybody coming to tell you that it is not so for one and it is so only for the other, I don't buy that. That's not true.
All right. Can I make a scenario? Husbands and wives that have noise are going to sleep, get up. In every issue in Barbados, problems, there's situations where members, but I want to create what you have said, that on the platform last night was people on mayor's platform, those people who oppose mayor.
But you gotta wrap it up, because since we're leaving at 1 o'clock, we're not going there, because the truth of the matter is that some of you are indeed taking a lot of time to say what you have to say, and it is difficult because we are finishing at 1 o'clock today. And, you know, be concise. So don't come and tell me that you got 3 or 4 things to talk about, but you want to talk about this one first. Something that is not even on the list that you drew up. We got to control it. All right? Yes, go ahead.
Good morning.
This person says, you know, I'm allowing people to come onto the program and talk long. If the caller has a valid point, okay, but people just ramble on without making sense. So I'm going to try to control that. All right? Thank you very much. Be my conscience and my guide today. Yes, welcome. You're on the air, sir.
Yes, good morning.
Yes, good morning.
How are you today?
I'm well, and you?
Oh, fine, thank you. Well, I can be short. I thought that last night's meeting was awful.
I would expect you to say so.
No, I like good political meetings. I watched it because I wanted to see what new initiative, what new policies the Democratic Labour Party would have started on for last night. At one point in time, I thought that the Prime Minister would have gotten up from his seat and go to especially Steve Blackett and say to him, you've gone over the line. I mean, when you can have Minister Blackett, and this is the second time that I am hearing him say this, and I am surprised that the women's groups in Barbados have not pulled him up on it. when you could have a minister or government referring to the opposition leader as musty, and her clothes are and her hair is unkept, and she doesn't look good, and this kind of thing, I think that's a bit too far. When you could have another government minister calling the BLP supporters musty, I mean, I'm a BLP supporter. I try to be it at least once a day, sometimes twice, and I don't think that I'm musty. But I think that's really unfortunate.
People take very big risks when they go on political platforms and take a negative slant. My experience over the years in watching campaigns, I remember years ago, David Simmons was running against a fellow called Junior Rock up in St. Thomas. And Mr. Barrow led the troops up there and cursed the BLP people in such a way that at the end of the day, there was an interpretation that he did it because he wanted David Simmons to win the seat. That was the interpretation. And that's because negative campaigning, there's an element of it that can work for you. But if you go overboard, it can hurt you.
When I heard Dr. David Eswick in your clip this morning telling Miss Motley to take the excess sewage and shove it up her rear end, I mean, that meeting went too far. But let me talk about the strategy quickly, because I know that a lot of people want to get in. I think that the strategy was a poor one. I would have wanted to see probably a meeting in Independence Square, to me, which would have been a greater benefit to the candidate in Bridgetown, who will easily win than Patrick Todd over Miss Motley. And I felt that
but that's your assessment.
Independence would have been a better launching ground for a meeting like that.
Because but you are a BLP supporter. And I don't understand how
I'm
a BLP...
At strategy in
I don't see how a BLP supporter can easily advise the Democratic Labour Party on what on that aspect of strategy. You're not going to be well-meaning. I don't accept that.
Well, let me share this with you. If you go in to Ms. Motley's constituency, which is considered a stronghold, and you want to be effective in that constituency, to spend all night speaker after speaker trying to bludgeon her is not effective.
Well, you can't. You know, the risk you run is overkill.
Exactly.
It's overkill. And
it's overkill.
You need to be careful. Well, look, it is done. The truth of the matter is that the people who were responsible for that campaign decided what they wanted, and they have taken their chance. It is left to be seen to what extent this will reverberate throughout the campaign in one way or the other.
I don't think it was effective.
As I said, it's risky.
Yeah, I don't think it wasn't good planning. And I guess that the two events of the Barbados Labour Party, the picnic at the East Coast and and the launch on Saturday night, has the Democratic Labour Party camp a bit ruffled. But going to Bush Hall, to me, was not a good strategy. I would have gone to Bridgetown, in Independence Square next to the Arab Bar statue. I think it would have had
the mission was clear. Listen, let me tell you something. I believe strongly that this has been long in coming. There are people within the Democratic Labour Party who have been echoing this particular line for quite some time. And they're not prepared to listen to anybody who would say to them, but are you sure that this is the way to go? Because the minute that you say that to them, you are in the Motley camp or you're in the BLP camp, they're not interested. So as far as I'm concerned, they could do what they feel like doing and let the public determine how they're going to respond to them at the end of the day. Similarly, the Barbados Labour Party, they have their own strategy. If they do go there and mishandle it, they suffer the consequences. Both of them have to go through that experience, you know.
Down to brass tacks. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I'm well. And you?
Okay, fine. Three little quick points here. The first one is Mr. Sinclair's comment that with the increase of non-contributive pension, we collapse the NIS. As far as I can gather, I don't think that the non-contributive pension is paid from the NIS. I think it's paid from central government. Even so, Mr. Sinclair increased the said non-contributory pensions. I think it was in the 2016 budget. The second one is in the area when the Prime Minister talk about bloodlines. You know, as a Prime Minister and the one who prides himself of a student of history, he made a big boo-boo there, actually. Because if you look through the whole history of Barbados politics, you'll find there's a bloodline on both sides or on either side. I mean, when you look back at, like, you got Sir Grantley Adams and his son. You got their great leader, their worship leader, Errol Barrow. He seduced prayer, and also Sir Charles Duncan O'Neill. Then you have currently Philip Grace, Francis, and Verla de Pisa. Owen Arthur, he is Le Ben, and Dennis Kelman. Then you got Billy Miller, Freddie, Tommy, and Peter Miller. Cameron Tudor and his latest candidate, Kim Tudor. Richard Beyer and Esther Beyer. Liz Thompson, Ernie Bourne, Edmund Hinkson, Duncan Carter, and Desmond.
But he wasn't looking at it, the bloodline question, from just that angle of who's close to whom today in politics. It's a question of the people who they came from positions of privilege. And because you come from a position of privilege, you are, according to him, entitled. That's where he was going with it. Let me make the point that there are different ways of looking at the bloodline issue. Mm-hmm. There are also people who argue that because they came from poor backgrounds, that they have a sense of entitlement today because they had to struggle and they had to they benefited from education and hard work and that sort of thing. And on that basis, they are entitled. Their bloodline, they trace the poverty, while the other one would trace their bloodline to privilege.
Yes.
So however we swing, bloodline seems to run as part of the political narrative in Barbados.
You can't get away from that. And they're much heavier leader, Errol Barrow. Errol Barrow came out of a privileged position. He was not from the working class. And currently, he's keep talking about Miss Morley. But he said things with Cecily. Richard Seeley came up from a privileged class. So I don't understand where he's going with it. I mean, I consider that as a student of history, very poor. And next one, the last one is, in the case of Dr. Estwick. How Dr. Estwick is attempting to shift his rudder now. When on the 13th of February 2014, he addressed his cabinet in an AR address. And he said to the cabinet, big and bold, the government errors are responsible for the crisis, the economic crisis Barbados is in. Right? So I don't know how he could come and say something differently.
Okay.
This, yeah, okay.